Well, good morning. As we come towards the end of this year, look forward to the beginning of a new year in God's kindness. Now, sometimes, and it seems to be on the lips of villains who say this, but anyway, if you can just bear with me a moment here, they sometimes say, I can smell your what? Stanley.
Fear.
I can smell your fear. They seem to enjoy saying that, don't they? And very often, of course, they're right. There is plenty of fear in that person or that group of people, and they can just sense it. Well, I'm sad to report that sometimes unbelievers can smell the fear of Christians, can't they? They can smell the fear of the Lord's people. Aha, like in the psalm there a moment ago. Aha, we've got you. We know you're on the run here. You're frightened of us, and we're going to be able to use that to maximum advantage. They do, don't they? They like to think that, and they like to try to operate like that. I wonder at times whether we would say, oh, it's true, oh, I feel afraid. I feel afraid I do. I'm reading at the moment an interesting book, and it's written by the man who became the director of the Genome Project. Now, a bit of science. We move to science now. What is the Genome Project? I think I pronounced it right. Stanley, again?
Is it the project where they're trying to find all of the different genes?
Yeah. In what? Whom, particularly? What was it designed to look at, Stanley? The human being, that's right. They were looking to have a whole encyclopedia, as it were, of what our genes altogether are about. The whole thing, all of it. That was a huge task, but they did it. And this man was there, alongside a former president of America. Can you name a former president of America? Can you think back? I suppose it would be 10 years or so. Timothy?
George Bush.
Good try, but not he. Stanley?
George W.
That's a good try as well, but not he. One more. Not particularly good president, I have to say, but anyway. Bill Clinton, anyway. He was there. Bill Clinton made a speech. This other man made a speech. Actually, the speech Bill Clinton made was the thing that this other man had written for him. But anyway, there he was, and he's made his speech. So he really was a man who had really risen to the top of his field, the director of this grand project to write down all the structure of human DNA, the whole works, our genetic code, the whole thing. He started life as an atheist. So what does that mean about him if he starts life as an atheist, Charlotte?
He doesn't believe there is a God.
And he used to, whenever there were people who did believe in God or had some belief in the supernatural, say, well, come on, this isn't really the thing here. But he admitted that actually he hadn't looked into the subject at all about whether there was a God. And he said, really, the reason I didn't was I was willfully blind. Willful blindness, he called it. I was blind because I just didn't want to look. I didn't know, if I was honest, and I didn't want to know. I didn't want to look down there. And the reasons he gave were this, and it's the one that often crops up, that I didn't want to think that one day I would be judged, that my actions today would be judged sometime in the future by a higher being. I did not like that thought, because I rather like doing all the things I'm doing here on my own without having to think about the future and being judged. I'm rather enjoying all of this. Well, so he thought he was enjoying it. People do think they enjoy these things, don't they? But anyway, there he was. I don't know what kind of sin he was into, but he kind of admitted he was, you know, out there doing things. Anyway, he got shocked because he became a doctor. And people used to come to him in the surgery, in America this is, and he thought, this faith that they have, soon as there's some trouble, poof, it'll all disappear like that. Except it didn't. and the people coming into the surgery who had life-threatening illnesses, perhaps terminally ill, suffering great pain. And instead of them saying, oh, I don't want to believe in God now, I'm suffering, so that's bad, I'm not going to care anymore about this. Far from it. They were actually coming in and they were happy to talk about their faith in God. You see, for him, he thought, well, there's suffering in the world, so how can God be good? And here were people who were actually suffering. He was only in his 20s. He hadn't really had any great suffering. He'd had quite a privileged childhood in many ways, quite an interesting childhood. But here were people genuinely in pain, but they didn't cut their belief in God. No, they still said, I love God and he loves me. And this really shook him. And so he thought, well, really, to be fair to this, I really ought to look into this matter of God and faith. I really ought to, because he's a scientist, you see. What should scientists do? What should they do, really, if they're good scientists? What kinds of things should they do, Timothy?
Investigate.
They should investigate. What are the kinds of things they should look at? Word beginning with E, a big word here, beginning with E, Charlotte?
Evidence.
Evidence. And the saying is in science that you go where the evidence takes you. So if the evidence is that this is right and that's wrong, you say, well, I used to believe that, but I don't believe that anymore. That's wrong because the evidence says that this is now true. So I now believe this. And if I see something better in the future and the evidence says, well, actually, that wasn't all completely right, this is the more correct view, then I will move on to that. I have to leave behind all my cherished opinions and everything else. So you see, he used to have some heroes. He calls them heroes, you see. Heroes in science. And one of his great heroes, he was a very, very gifted man, was a man, I wonder if you can get his name. Oh, Timothy, go on then.
Charles Darwin?
No, no, wasn't him. Physicist. Oh, theory of.
Isaac Newton.
Good try. No, wasn't him. Oh, go on then, Timothy.
Albert Einstein?
It was Albert Einstein. It's theory of relativity. Well, you can tell me all about that later on. I wouldn't dare to try to explain all this. But anyway, this man didn't believe in the God of the Bible. And so he was one of the great heroes there of this man. Francis Collins is his name. So he said, well, I don't need to worry about God. My great hero there, he didn't believe in this God. That's good enough for me in a way. And now he began to think, well, I don't know. Did Einstein get this bit right? And he began to look into the fact that in the world there's a moral law. People believe in things that are right. They believe certain things are wrong. They believe certain things are fair and they think certain things are not fair. And then there's love and these things which just don't seem to fit together with his atheism and his view about evolution. What use is all this love and selfless care? And he was really stumped for an answer on that. And of course, eventually he gave up his atheism and began to believe it in God. Don't know, haven't got to the end of the book yet as to how that actually, pardon me, fits together, but he certainly changed from his atheism. And so I say to you, don't be afraid of them. God has a wonderful way, we heard it in the psalm there, of putting them to shame and confusion. They don't really know. And in their science, well, in their various disciplines, they can be very rigorous and look at the evidence and be very clear thinking. But when it comes to matters to do with faith, Christian faith, God, supernatural God, they just don't want to look at the evidence. And he calls his atheism childish. It was childish atheism. I think that's very noble of him to say that, because often they say, well, people who believe in this God here, well, they're just stupid, or they're just childish. He said, no, my atheism, that was childish. That was back there somewhere, and I had to cast that away, because it just wasn't right. So he was brave enough there to put that behind. And lots of these people who reckon that they're so wise, and so much on the ball when it comes to the human condition and the where we are in life and that, don't be afraid of them. Rather stand up to them. You might find that they say some very stupid things when you stand up to them. You speak up because you might be surprised what stupid things they'll say back. And you'll think, did he really say that? Did you really say that? I mean, that is just dumb, we might say. That is just stupid, what they just said. And you will find that out if you're ready to stand up. Don't be afraid of them. You remember when the spies went into the promised land? Do you remember that? They went in and looked, and there's the promised land before they entered them under Moses' leadership. And they all went in, leaders of each of the tribes, and they came back, didn't they? And what was the majority opinion when they came back? Can you remember? What was the majority opinion? What did most of them say about the promised land? They came back with all these grapes. That looked all really nice. But what did they say about the people in that land? Timothy?
They said they were all giants.
They said they were all giants. They were giants. And what did they feel like compared to these giants? Would have got that, Timothy?
Ants.
Close. Well, insects, they felt like jumping creatures, sort of insects that jump around a bit. You going to try for that one? Go on, Timothy.
Crickets.
Well, very simple. Grasshoppers. We felt like grasshoppers. Therefore, these giants up here. And we felt really afraid. Except for two men. Two of the leaders said, no, it's not so. God is with us. He can defeat these giants. Can you remember which those two men were? One, Timothy.
Joshua and Caleb.
Joshua and Caleb. They came back and said, the majority are wrong. We can because God is with us. Don't be afraid. If God's with us, you can go into any battle with any atheist there. And you might find some wonderful opportunities opening up. Who knows? Like this man, they may even turn away from their atheism. So, no, don't let them smell our fear. Let them smell instead, if we can put it like that, that we believe in our God and that we're not afraid of you. Thank you very much. So may God bless us as we enter into a new year in a few days' time, and may he make the year coming up for all of us very, very fruitful. May God give us many opportunities. So let's sing a hymn. 210, here is love vast as the ocean. 210.